You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up on the SBS On The Money podcast, the Australian dollar and share market smashed following Donald Trump's trade policies. What are the implications for inflation? I will take a look at how the housing market started the new year and expectations for 2025. That's all next. Here's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Monday, the 3rd of February 2025. Later, we'll take a look at the Australian housing market and how it started the new year and expectations for 2025. But we are starting with the Australian share market first because it has been smashed today, down 1.8%, down as much as 2% at one stage today, but closing at 8,379 for the S&P ASX 200. It follows fears of a global trade war following Donald Trump's trade policies. For more, I spoke with Raymond Chan, the head of Asian Desk Retail at Morgan's. The Australian share market has been smashed today, along with the currency, but we'll talk about the currency in a few moments. But it follows news the US would impose a 25% import tariff on Mexico and Canadian goods, 10% on China from tomorrow. Why has the market been spooked so much today when a lot of this has been kind of telegraphed earlier?
So far, the market have largely ignored many aspects of the Trump trade policies. Some investors are hopeful that the Trump tariffs are a negotiation tactics and will be watered down in the due course. However, we think it's important to be prepared for more volatility in share price and industry if the US keep the tariff for an extended period of time. We have to bear in mind that Canada, China, Mexico account for 42% of US import and are the key to the supply chain and revenue for many of the S&P 500 company, the world's biggest company. So on a broader basis, based on our calculation, each 1% increase in the US tariff on the US product will lower the overall S&P 500 company's earnings by 0.5 to 0.6%. So that's significant impact. However, there's another factor go beyond the tariff is how this Trump policy will impact the trade relationship. That likely to put a strain on diplomatic and economic relationship among its key trading partner in Asia, in Europe. So this is a lot of uncertainty to be created.
Okay, before we talk about international implications, what about the US implications, particularly around higher inflation? Is there the potential for that to happen and thus put a halt on the Federal Reserve's plan to cut interest rates there?
Very good question. Trump's decision to impose taxes on import are likely to be inflationary, so that will set the inflation expectation higher. However, we believe inflation is just one of the many factors the Fed will consider when deciding on the interest rate. The US employment growth is another factor we should look into it, currently growing at around 1.3% annualized, as compared to the long-term average of 1.5 to 2%. So the employment growth is way below the average. And we still think there's room for the Fed to cut rate in the middle of the year on the back of that.
Okay. I guess one of the things that Australian investors are more worried about is the relationship with China, right? How do you think this will play out with China? How will it react?
Over the weekend, the 10% tariff is on the existing tariff already charged on the Chinese good. Our base case is we think they're likely to be 15%, 1.5 tariff to be imposed. On the back of that, you know, we think that will reduce the China export by about 6% and to slow the China GDP growth by about 1%. So that's meaningful. However, this is given everything's among equal. So there, you know, the Chinese government could come up with policy or strategies to mitigate some of that impact. However, you know, this is the base case that we are looking at the moment. And certainly that will put a lot of pressure on the US and China trade relationship as well.
So if that relationship becomes more fragile, I guess, how will all of this then impact Australia and Australian investments and shares? Because as we saw today, the market's taken a pretty serious tumble.
Agree. Any big move, you know, the US-China relationship and also big movement in terms of the US share market is likely to impact the global market. And we are being part of the global market. Of course, we're going to be impacted. However, in Australia, we should look at it in a different perspective. We ASX 200 just recorded record high last week. And in 2024, the ASX 200 returned a bit over 7%, but our top 20 stocks returned 11%, from which our major banks returned 36% on an earning growth of 3 to 4%. So before today, I feel more like a profit-taking sell-off. Our ASX 200 was trading a bit over 18 times forward earnings. What do I mean by that? The past 2 years, the average is 16 times. So we're clearly trading high in terms of valuation, especially we're going into this very important reporting season in just a few weeks' time. That gives a lot of investor excuse to take profit on this market.
What about implications for Australian companies? Have we heard from any of them today?
Some of them. First of all, we have to look at what sort of product we export to US and what sort of product we receive from the US. So in terms of Australia, we export metal, mineral, dairies, agri product to the US. And on the receiving end, we receive the machinery, aircraft, pharmaceutical product from the state. So there's a bilateral relationship there. Now, the biggest hit assumed by the market is a resources company. As a result of that, especially BHP and Rio Tinto, they both have Canadian operation. However, it's too early to tell the actual impact at this stage. I'm sure, you know, that both companies will take the upcoming reporting season as an opportunity to brief the market. Second of all, on the individual basis, you know, we have companies like Fisher & Paykel. They deliberately make an announcement today and say the US tariff will increase their costs and cut down on their profit margin. But it's early days at the moment, and I'm sure we will have more opportunity during the reporting season to hear.
So we've spoken a lot about the markets, the equity markets. What about the currency markets, right? The Australian dollar touching a four-year low today as a result. Is it all to do with US tariff policy?
They certainly play a big part of it. The Aussie dollars against the US has been on a downtrend since September. Take a step back when we look at the Aussie dollars, there's three key dominant factors. Number one is the interest is the US and Australia interest rate differential. Number two is the US budget balance. Number three is the commodity price. So now if we look at the Trump tariff, it seems to provide a boost for the US budget balance, more revenue. Then we have the market interpreted tariff as a sign for the Fed to delay a rate cut, so widening the interest rate differential. Last but not least, you know, we saw a bit of commodity price weakness. That's why the Aussie dollar's gone a little bit weak, you know, around the 61 cents mark, which we think is cheap because our fundamental valuation is about 70 cents.
That's a lot about the trade issues at the moment. Any other news impacting the market today?
We have the retail sales figures coming out. Yes, in December, there's a decline on retail sales. However, it's better than market expected. Why? Because we have a very strong prior 2 months of retail sellings. In terms of the sector-wise, the electronic segment continue to do really well. So that's certainly to benefit our electronic retailer like JB Hi-Fi and Harvey Norman. The weakest link for our retail continue to be department store. That's why we saw a bit of weakness in Maya today. The big picture, though, of course, is as the market has reached a record high and a lot of investors will sit on a different position. Some position may become more overweight than the other. Now is a good time to review the portfolio, just to ensure it's remain in line with the risk profile and objectives.
And speaking of reviewing portfolios, are there any opportunities for investors at the moment, do you think?
Instead of being defensive and just hold cash, I think the market always create opportunity. Year 2024 was the year where the resources company underperformed, and a lot of people have a lot of concern about the growth in China, the trade war, and the like. That's why, in general, I think resources stocks looks pretty cheap. The biggest Australian mining company like BHP and Rio Tinto, they have very strong balance sheet, strong cash flow, pay good dividend. I think now is a opportunity for us to look at selective opportunity to invest for long term.
Raymond Chan there from Morgans. Now to a different type of market, that's a property market, where home values held steady in January. CoreLogic says the national median still sits at around 814,000, although the capitals of Sydney, Melbourne and Canberra did see declines in values over the month. For more, Rayna Bosch spoke with Tim Lawless, the head of research at CoreLogic.
Well, the national index was pretty much flat, and you're right, this is the third month where values have been flat to falling on a national basis. Most of this downwards pressure is still coming out of the largest capitals. So Melbourne continuing through a long-running downturn. Sydney peaked back in September and has been through a downturn since then. But also the mid-sized capitals, which remain quite strong, but they're clearly losing momentum. In fact, we've seen Perth moving through the rankings to now be the third best performer. Adelaide's now the strongest market around the country. So a little bit of a changing of the guard, but overall, generally a fairly shallow downturn so far.
Now, we have global financial markets that are pricing in around 100 basis points of rate cuts throughout the year. How will that impact things?
Well, clearly lower rates should be a net positive for housing markets, but we are expecting the rate cutting cycle will be quite a gradual and cautious one. Even with 100 basis points cuts in 2025, that's not going to get interest rates back to where they were pre-pandemic, let alone the pre-pandemic decade average. So I think we'll need to see a lot more interest rate cuts before we start to see housing markets moving back into any sort of significant growth cycle. But overall, this is an improvement to borrowing capacity. It should boost sentiment and, at the very least, help to put a floor under housing prices.
So from a top-down level then, how would you characterise this downward movement? Is this just a temporary blip, or is this something that you expect to continue throughout 2025?
I think this downturn is going to be quite a shallow and temporary one, absolutely. So I think we're still moving through a shortage of housing. We're about to see interest rates coming down, boosting borrowing capacity and sentiment. But there's still a few headwinds. We still have affordability that's quite stretched. We're still in a marketplace where household debt levels are quite elevated as well. So I think all things considered, we shouldn't expect 2025 to be, a boom year for housing. I think probably similar to what we saw last year, maybe even a little bit more subdued, given last year we saw housing values increase about 4%. I'm expecting something fairly similar for 2025, maybe stacked towards the second half of the year once interest rates start coming down more substantially.
So this obviously impacts those homeowners or potential buyers, but how about the rest of the market? I mean, what is the potential impact for, say, renters?
Well, we're already seeing rents stabilizing across most parts of the country, even coming down in some of the larger cities like Sydney and Melbourne. Rents are down a little bit over the past 6 months. They're generally stabilizing in most other markets. Rental trends tend to be a little bit more divorced from interest rate cycles. And I think a big part of this stabilization in rental market conditions simply comes back to affordability. We've never seen rental affordability this far stretched. And now we're starting to see less population growth, larger household sizes also contributing to a slowdown in rental demand.
That's Brainerd Bosch there speaking with Tim Lawless from CoreLogic. Don't forget, if you do like the podcast, to give it a rating wherever you stream your podcasts from, like Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and to subscribe.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.